I got a word for you this morning. Can I give you a word? This got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with Sarah's heart. But first of all, I want to thank Pastor and his wife and you guys on behalf of Sarah's heart. And am I ringing? Is there some reason why I'm ringing? Is it me? I got to move away from something? Am I in a way? Oh, I'll get away from that then. Okay. And on behalf of Sarah's heart, and on behalf of home missionaries, foreign missionaries that are not here with you right now, we want to thank you. Because we could not do what we do without you guys. Now, you guys, that's a Brooklyn saying, you guys. See, out where we come from, it's folks. They use the word folks. They use the word folks here, or guys. It's folks. Well, we could not do what we do without your prayers and support. And you guys have come quite a ways with us so far. And I just got a call from your secretary, I don't know how many years ago it was, saying that we're going to start supporting you monthly. We would never hear. We never came here. We, you know, and I don't know how much Pastor and the board knew about the ministry, but I guess they said, listen, this is something that we need to dig into. But I have a word for you before I even get into that stuff. And Paul is speaking to the Christians in Philippi, and he tells them, brethren, I do not regard myself as having hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting the flooded basement in the old building, forgetting those things that are behind, and what does he say? Moving forward. That's the word God has for you guys today. God is calling you to move forward. You guys have been through a lot of stuff. I don't know everything that you've been through, but I know it's a lot of stuff because I know what we've been through. And so there's a lot more of you than there is the two of us. Amen? So as a church, you need to bind your hearts together. And that's what they did in the book of Acts when they first started. And that's how the church started, didn't it? It started by them going to the temple every day and praying and joining together in each other's home and breaking bread and praying one for another. And the book of Acts even goes as far as, I'm gone. See, the book of Acts goes even as far as Saint. Oh, do I need this? Are you taping this? That's worse. I'll trip over it. But the book of Acts, they joined together. That's how the church was, wasn't it? And they were part of each other's lives. They just didn't see each other on Sunday morning when they went to temple. They got together every day. They prayed together. They ate together like you did on Sunday this morning. You need to get together. You need to be with each other. You need to pray one for another. You need to help meet each other's needs. That's what the church is about. We have evolved into something other than that today, I'm sorry to say. And why am I sharing all of this? I have no idea. But all I know is that God wants to speak to you today. Because that new building that you're starting is not going to be big enough. I don't know how many it's going to hold, Pastor. How many it's going to hold? Where is he? Where's the architect? Brother, continue doing what you're doing, but listen to what I'm saying to you. Because in this situation that we're in today, in the society and the economy that we're in today, your church is not going to be big enough. So prepare. All right? I'm not saying add an extension, architect. Get yourself in there. And don't worry about money. I'm probably going to get that lean over this way when I say that. Don't worry about your funds. The funds will come from places that you have no idea. The funds will come in. Because you see, this hasn't got nothing to do with you guys. It doesn't have anything to do with you guys. It doesn't have anything to do with this man and his lovely wife. It has to do with God and what his will is for this community. And his word says that none should perish. And so prepare ourselves. You see, it said it in the song that we were singing. Get ready. We need to get ready. Because we need to be history makers. And not history makers that people will say, look what Calvary did, but history makers that they'll say, look what they did in the name of Jesus Christ. And your first step, of course, is your heart, which is, I know this man's heart. I don't know him. We talk and we sit down, but I really don't know his whole heart. You know it better than I do, but apparently missions is mixed within there. And so I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Sarah's heart, my wife and I, and the missionaries that travel through here from time to time and share their stories with you and understand when they walk out that door, you're going with them. Hello? You're staying here, but you're going with them when you pray for them and you support them. And it's not that they walk out the door, they're gone, and that's it. Because we would not be able to do what we do without your prayers and support. Amen? All right, I did that. We're in a battle. And the battle is called the Office of Children and Family Services and the Town Board and Planning Board. I figured you would. But I want to tell you something, just what I said before. I look at this thing and I say, this doesn't have anything to do with us. We get frustrated and we get aggravated and we get annoyed. But you know what? It's got nothing to... They're not trying to stop us. They're trying to stop the move of God. And especially the government. For those of you that... How many of you never seen us before or heard from us before or anything? It's like, really, to go over the whole thing is just like, it'll take me 2 days. But my wife will come up in a minute and tell you where we are as far as the house and everything else goes. But God is, through a vision and a dream years ago, God has called us to open a children's home. And through working for Brooklyn Teen Challenge for quite a number of years, going off to Bible college at 50 years old, yeah, well, God says it. What are you going to do? Say no? I did. God delivered us from a world of debt. And I told him years ago, you know what? When he called us off to college, I said, God, you delivered us from debt. And college is a lot of money. And we were working for Teen Challenge. And when you work for ministry, you don't make a lot of money. And we just had $3,500 in the bank, and it was going to cost us half of that to move out to Springfield, Missouri to go to school. And I said, you know, God, if you're not paying for this, I'm not taking out school loans. You got us out of debt. I'm not getting in debt at 50 years old. So if you're not paying for this, we'll stay right here at Teen Challenge. Thank you very much. He loves me anyway. And 2 weeks before we were going to Bible college, at our home church, they took an offering for us with 100 people in the service and collected $20,000 for us to go to Bible college. So I want to tell you something. Don't worry about the money. Because if you're doing what God has called you to do, the money will come from somewhere and somehow. I don't know. I can't tell you how. God didn't tell me. He doesn't even tell me stuff that we're doing. But we just move forward and know that when we're in His will, He's going to work everything out. So I'm not going to worry about it. I can't worry about it anymore. That was one of my things. Anybody have vices that they have to deal with? One of my vices was I was brought up worrying about money. My father worried about money. He passed it on to his children. And I worried about money for years. And I passed it on to my son. And God delivered me from it. What am I going to do about it anyway? I can't do nothing about it. And so we're moving forward. I'm on a little rabbit trail, ain't I? Pass is just, oh, whatever. But I want to tell you something. God has called us to rescue children. When my wife is done sharing about the house, I want to show you a CD. It's a two-minute CD. And it'll give you some statistics, and I want you to listen to the words to the song because they're really powerful. But when you're going to do something that's in God's will and understand you're going to face opposition. Architect, am I right? You're going to face opposition because the devil doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. And there are over 1 million children every night right here in this United States of America that don't have a place to live. They have either been abandoned or they're homeless. They have nowhere to go. We were up in Clifton Park a while ago. And after the service was over, a gentleman came up to me. He just started working for a secular residential children's home, and they just picked up a 15-year-old boy that was living in a refrigerator box behind a supermarket. This is Clifton Park, folks. It's not Brooklyn, the Bronx, or Miami, or Los Angeles. It's not just the big inner cities. It's in the rural areas also. You don't hear about it in the newspaper. You don't hear about it in the news, do you? Because it's the best hidden secret that America has today. They don't want anybody to know the situation of so many children in America today. But God knows, and it's breaking His heart. We are only the second Assembly of God children's home in the United States. The other one being in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Hillcrest. The numbers tremendous. The numbers are tremendous. God spoke to me through a woman and said, we're going to have 11 homes. I don't know who's going to run them, but we got people that are calling us and wanting to meet with us that have the same heart, that don't know how to go about doing it. And you know, Teen Challenge got started in 1958 with Dave Wilkerson in Brooklyn, New York. There are over 360 centers around the world today. It's got to start somewhere. And if God wants to use a jabroni like me, only the Italians got that. So we have purchased a big Victorian house in Portville, New York. Anybody know where Olean is? We're an hour and a half south of Buffalo. They got snow out there right now. I don't have to tell you guys about snow. But I'm going to ask my wife, Eileen, to come. She's going to share about this home, how far we've gotten, how close we are to getting our license. And I think that works. I'm really not sure. You didn't clap for me.
Is it on?
I was only kidding.
Is this thing on? It's on? Okay. I don't like these things, but you got to use them, I guess. Well, I'm not sure if you know, from the last time we were here what we shared, but it was a year ago that we purchased this house, and we had no intentions of doing anything like this, but we were just going to get land. Let me go back a little further so I can kind of, yeah. And just build this big home because we know the need is so big. But then this home came into the mix of everything. And, you know, sometimes you think you know how it's supposed to go and all of a sudden things start to change. And we got such a good deal on it. It was our chiropractor. She was taking care of my back from all the traveling. So we got such a good price on it that we purchased the house. And we've been renovating it for over a year now. A good 15 months, and I think if we would have known back then all the work that needed to be done, I don't think we would have went this route. And on top of it all, my husband put me in charge of renovations, something I've never, you know, I don't know anything about anything. I can pick up a paintbrush and do a little painting, but that's about it. But I've learned a lot, I really have, over the last year or so. And it's been the Church of Jesus Christ that has come and helped us. And done all kinds of things to help us, and we're at the very, very end now. And at the end, you know, when you'll see that when you get to the end of your building project and your church is just about ready to, I'm telling you, all it's like seemed like all hell was breaking loose against us to stop this thing, because it's really God's plan. He really wants to rescue children, you know, and he's put that in our heart. But so believe it or not, for 2 months we've been trying to get a permit from the towning board just to put a fire escape on the outside of the house so the children have a second outlet. We call it an egress. And talk about getting angry. I don't think I've gotten that angry in such a long time because of the politics and all. And this one lady who, oh, I never heard what you're doing. What are you doing? And in secret? I mean, just silly nonsense stuff. You know, she got a little bee in her bonnet, and this thing has been delayed and delayed. But you know what? The Lord told me, because I finally gave the anger over to him, and I started praying for the woman and just, you know, doing what I knew I was supposed to do as a Christian. And the Lord just said, be quiet, because victory is in progress. So keep us in prayer, because this Wednesday, now the board is supposed to come again, and they're supposed to be giving us our permit. So I'm just praying nothing else happens, because this is outside work. We have this outside work that has to be done. We want to get it done before the winter, just like you want to get your building up and, you know, so that you can work on the inside then once the cold weather comes. I know you have your own project going on, but if there's any Bob the Builders out there, we would, you know, we're... Or Barbara's. I know there are women that work can do this work too. I've seen them. And we could sure use your help. We have an outside fire escape or egress that has to be built. We have leaders and gutters that have to be put in. And we have a house parents apartment, because we're going to get one, hopefully get a godly person to come on board as a house parent. And we need to get that fixed and ready for that person as well, because we're very close. We're very, very close to getting our license. See, once all these things are done, then the house will be up to code. We call the fire and safety guy in, and we can proceed to get our license. Go back at the display, see how much work. We have some pictures. You could see the bedrooms. We're going to be able to take in 5 children in this starter home. And what we're hoping for is siblings, because it's very hard to place children when they become homeless if there's a whole bunch of them. And we'd love to see children together, be kept together. So Keep us in prayer. If you can come and help on a Saturday, if some of you men, women would like to come, help us get this finished. We'd be thrilled to have you. And we'll definitely keep you all in prayer, too, because we know you're so close, too. We're really excited for you. And hopefully we'll get a chance to pass by and see the beginning stages here. And that's it. Keep us in prayer. Once we get started, see the whole thing is once we get started and we get our license, maybe other people then who want to do the same thing. See, we've done the hard part, the paperwork and all the nonsense that have to go through with all the politics involved with all of this and the government. Then they can maybe get on board. They can get their own place. They would still have to get it up to code and become a 501c3, but they wouldn't have to go through all the stuff we've been through. See, a lot of people want to do this. They don't know how to get started, just like we didn't, and they don't know what to do to get it going. But see, we can help others do that then. Wouldn't that be great? See, a children's home around here where you could just, you know what I'm saying? It could happen. It's possible. God wants to rescue these children that don't have a place to go, you know, and if it's in your heart, talk to me later. It's quite doable, and we can do this, and we can get them out of the system and get them in a Christian home where they can learn about Jesus and be raised as Christians and won't have to jump from home to home to home to home. Or go back to those horrible situations they were in, thinking they are better now, but they're really not. And this is what children go through. So thank you for your time. Huh?
In reality, we're dealing with the pain of stress and poverty, and I gotta be myself because there's nobody else for me. No, sometimes it takes a different kind of love to raise a child.
So don't give up,
don't give up.
The pressures come down.
Sometimes it takes a different kind of dream to make you smile.
So raise it up,
so
hang in there with me.
Sometimes we need another helping hand to show the way.
So don't give up,
so don't give up.
The pressures come down.
Sometimes it seems impossible, and that's why we pray.
So raise it up.
Seems to be nothing left for me. Mama's gone, daddy didn't wanna be. And now I'm all by myself, wondering where is love, or should I just give up? You know,
life falls down on me, cuts into my soul. But I know I got the strength to make it through it all. Cause I'm still standing tall, breaking through these walls. I'm gonna give my all.
Well, if you guys have any questions for us, we'll at the end of the service we'll be at our display in the back. There is some literature there that you can take that really kind of explains the whole ministry. We have pens back there and refrigerator magnets, and we have a card back there. How many people get our newsletter? I know the church does, and there's a couple people that get our newsletter. If you'd like to receive our newsletter, there's just a card back there you could just fill out, and every month and a half or so we send out a newsletter just to keep people abreast of what's going on. What Pastor Ray just told me and my wife didn't know was their building project manager here, his name is Bob, and he's a builder. And so he's Bob the Builder. That's why everybody left. The psalmist tells us in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the New American Standard Bible in verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear though the earth should change. And what I want to do is I want to break these scriptures down today for a couple minutes if I could. And one thing about God's word is it's not good enough for us to just pick up the Bible and randomly read wherever we want to read it. Okay? We need to be studiers of the word. In Timothy, it tells us we need to study to show ourselves what? Approved. And the second part of that scripture tells us that we need to be workmen who can properly, who are not ashamed and can handle the word of truth accurately. We just can't take scriptures and throw them at people because that's the scripture that we know. We need to know God's word. We need to know how we can use God's word not only in our personal lives, but to witness to others. And I remember in my younger years, I used to witness to people in the condemnation thing, like you're going to hell, you know, and I can judge you, but, you know, and we can't do that. God has a special word for everyone. And that's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit opens up an opportunity for us to witness, that we know how to do it effectively. And the only way we know how to do that effectively is by knowing God's word. Amen? And so this particular scripture says, God is our refuge and strength. First of all, it said God is. I could turn this microphone off and we could just leave right now because God is. Amen? No matter what anybody says, no matter what the atheists say, the agnostics say, no matter what anybody said, God is. And the scripture says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to be one of those people that diligently seek God because you see, I don't want Sarah's heart to be run by Bill and Eileen Meyer. I want Sarah's heart to be run by Jesus Christ. It's got to be his. And I want to tell you something. In any ministry that you start, whether it's a ministry in a church, whether it's a ministry outside the church, whether God has called you to do something, God needs to be in it right from the beginning. The direction and the guidance and the leadership has to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you something. Something that you start in the flesh, you will have to maintain in the flesh. And flesh will only take you a certain way. It'll only take you so far, your flesh. But if it's birthed by God, the possibilities are endless. And that's why we need to understand that. And the other thing is God is our. See, he's not just Pastor Ray's or Bill's, but he's our. He's my God. Can anybody say that today? He's my God. And what really blows me away, can I use the terminology? Is that he knows each and every one of our needs specifically and ministers to us accordingly at the same time. Isn't that pretty wild? That he is so vast and so complex that our God can just minister to each and every one of us accordingly for what we need. And that's so, that just is unbelievable. And the scripture tells us that Paul, in speaking to the Christians in Ephesus, tells them that God is no respecter of persons. See, God doesn't love Pastor more than he loves you. He might love me a little more, but but isn't that silly? And some of us fall into that thing that, God, you know, God really doesn't love me. And I shared a scripture just a little while ago for the church about forgetting what's behind. Forget about what happened last month or last year or last week or this morning. Forgetting what is behind and understanding that God loves you and wants to take care of you. So move forward. Forget about that stuff. Jesus told his apostles in Luke that if you, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not worthy of the kingdom of God. So what does that mean to me and you? That means to me and you that we can't look back, folks. You know, we have, the scripture says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And we all have, and we still do, and that will happen till the Lord Jesus comes and takes us out of here. One way or the other. And so understand that we need to keep moving forward. And when we were in Brooklyn, the ladies did a skit. There was the song said, "We fall down, but we get up." And the scripture says, though a righteous man fall 7 times, what does he do? Gets back up. We got to keep moving forward, folks. And he goes on to say, the psalmist goes on to say that God is our refuge. And Mr. Webster says refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or trouble. God is our protector. We need to understand that. And in the book of Proverbs, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and a righteous running and is safe. He is our protector in times of trouble. So any troubles that we have, listen, when we're having troubles, don't run from him, run to him. That's what we have to do. We can never fix certain things in our lives, but God can. And so we need to understand that. How many times in our lives could have something happened but didn't? My wife's going to tell me later on when we're driving home, you need to do something because your pants keep falling and you keep picking them up. They put me on this diet and I've lost 25 pounds and none of my clothes fit me anymore. And it's a long story. How did I get on that? I don't know. I just remembered because I picked my pants up. But I recall one time in particular, but if I sat back, I could remember probably dozens of times. We were going to leave the house. We were going on a trip to a church, and we were held up for like 10 minutes or so for some reason. I don't know what it was, but we got on the highway and we're driving down the highway, and when we hit a certain point, there was a big accident there. Who knows, had we been there 10 minutes earlier, would we have been in that accident? Who knows how many times God has touched something in your body and healed you without you even knowing it? He's our refuge. He's our protector. And that's how he works. Word says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always on the job, isn't he? He's always watching over us. And that's what I love about our God. He just loves us so much that he watches over us. And the scripture goes on to say that he is our refuge and he's our strength. Parents, how many times have your kids acted up or went crazy or did certain things and you said, God, give me the strength? Anybody ever say that? I know all of you, a lot of you moms can raise your hands. And you know what? When you call out to God, give me the strength, he does. Doesn't he? Because he's a loving God. He gives us the strength that we need. We're in the middle of, I just hit 61 in August. We just celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary on October 7th. And we're married 42 years by the grace of God. And had we not given our lives to Jesus Christ, I don't know where we would be today. I really don't. But God is good because he had a plan for us. And he's got a plan for each of you. And so we're in the middle of, sometimes we just look at each other and we say, I can't believe we're doing this. And we're in our 60s. We're in the middle of renovating this big old Victorian house where every weekend we're on the road running here, running there, sharing with people the need to rescue children. We have groups that come in and work on the house, and when they're done, we have to clean up after them. We're painting ceilings, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. I am not a Bob the Builder. My wife knows not to put tools in my hand. Well, she does. She does. Can you fix the leak under the sink? You don't want me to do that. Just call the plumber, because you're going to have to call him anyway. She learned that the hard way. And so, you know, what do I know? You have to go down in the cellar, turn the water off, make sure it's really off tight because you can't solder anything. Is that what the word is, soldering? You can't solder copper pipes when there's water in the system because it just runs in. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you do anyway. And so we're running around and we need God's strength to do what we have to do. So if there's anything when we leave here, if there's anything that you do, please pray for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength God supplies. I remember friends of ours, we were going to bring them here this morning and they didn't come with us so I could tell a story. We started working in 1994 for Brooklyn Teen Challenge, went into full-time ministry. And after we were there for a couple of years, these friends of ours that live in Coxsackie decided, I want to go to work for Brooklyn Teen Challenge. See, God called us to go to work for Brooklyn Teen Challenge. Brooklyn Teen Challenge, any teen challenge, is a frontline ministry. You're working with men and women that are hurting. And you just can't say, hey, I'd like to do that. Let me go do it. And my friend tried it. And they were there for 6 months and they couldn't do it because they didn't have the calling to do it. So without the calling, you could have a burden for something, and it's one thing to have a burden, but if you don't have the calling, you'll never be able to fulfill what that plan is. And so we need to understand that. And so that strength that we draw comes from God. And the psalmist goes on to say that he is a very present help in time of trouble. Listen, it just doesn't say he's a present help in time of trouble, because he is, but he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's right there on the job. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, does it? Sometimes we're going through things in our lives and you're saying, where are you? What's going on here? I need you. But I want you to understand something. He's always on time. God is always on time. And sometimes we go through things in our lives and we don't know why we're going through that thing until we get to the other side, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. We don't know why we've done it until God reveals it to us at a later time, but we've been through it. But as we go through it, we need to understand that God is with us and he's going to see us through it, whatever it is that we're going through. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about what the worship and what we're doing, and it just, this thing came to mind, so I need to share it with you. We were working for Teen Challenge, and there was a couple there that ran the streets together. And they didn't get married, they were just living together, and they decided they needed help, so she went, I don't know if you've ever heard of Walter Hoving Home. She went to Walter Hoving Home, he went to Brooklyn Teen Challenge, both of them graduated, but in the course of the years, they both had children. The woman had a son and two daughters. Well, the one daughter was 17 years old, and her name is Christine. And Christine was out, decided she wanted to go out partying one night, met a guy. One thing led to another. The next thing Christine knew was that she was pregnant, and she had HIV. That's the present this guy gave her. And so she was dealing with this HIV. And I got a call one evening that Christine was in a hospital in Queens. And would I come up and pray for her? Now, I've prayed for Christine in the past. Her and the other daughter gave me a nickname. They used to call me Bubba. And so I let them get away with it, but they were the only ones who were allowed to do it. So don't call me Bubba later when you see me. I walked in, me and Eileen walked into this hospital room, and Christine was on all kinds of things, and the machines were going off the charts. And we looked at her, and she was yellow. And her eyes, the whites of her eyes were yellow. And the doctors came to her mother earlier and said, listen, we don't know if Christine's going to make it through the night. You can see what's going on with her body. Her organs are shutting down. You need to make a choice whether that, when that time comes, whether we're going to resuscitate or we're not going to resuscitate. And so we walked into the hospital room, and the mother came over to us and told us everything that was happening. And I walked over to the bed, and Eileen sat at the foot of the bed and was holding Christine's feet and began to pray for her. And I leaned over real close to her, and she said, hi, Bubba. I said, Chris, you need to make a decision. And she says, I know, Mom told me whether they want to resuscitate me or not. I says, that's not the decision you have to make. You have to decide whether you're going to ask Jesus into your heart. I'm going to give you a minute, and then I'm going to come back. And I walked out, and I went out into the hallway. Eileen continued to stay in there. The machines were making all kinds of crazy noises. They were off the charts, these machines. And Eileen continued to pray, and I went out by Gloria, and I came back a couple minutes later, and I leaned over next to Christine's ear. I said, Chris, did you decide? She says, I want to accept Jesus. And I led her through the sinner's prayer. And when that prayer was done, those machines went to normal. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Eileen couldn't believe it. She was sitting there and she looked at the machines. Later on that evening, the doctors came in. And they said, the doctor says, I cannot believe what's going on here. Christina's doing well today. God touched her. He was that very present help in time of trouble. And God knew whether Christine had the night or didn't have the night. And God knew that Christine was going to give her heart to him. And he touched her body at the same time and healed her. And that's the very present help that God gives, isn't it? And some of you are saying, well, you know what, Pastor Bill, I know you're saying that, but I've been dealing with a situation for a very long time. And I understand that. And maybe you have been. But understand, we serve an on-time God. And he'll take care of it. I was diagnosed last August with a suspicious-looking cyst on my left kidney. They weren't even looking for that. They were looking for something else. I had an attack of pancreatitis in August. And they put me in a hospital. So I'm a veteran, so I was up in the Buffalo, the Veterans Hospital up in Buffalo. And when I got out, my primary care doctor says, I need you to do a CAT scan with contrast. That's where they shoot the dye into you. And I did it. And that's when they found this suspicious-looking cyst on my left kidney. And the doctor says, listen, we need to do one of two things. We either need to take half the kidney or the whole kidney. I didn't know they could take half a kidney, but when they got in there, they decided they needed to take my whole kidney. And when they were done, I'm laying in the hospital bed, and God gave me a scripture, and he told me, while you're in the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. And those two words just rang in my head. Take courage. I've overcome the world. They took the whole kidney out. They got all the cancer out. I went back. There's no cancer in my body. And just like I said before, God did that for me because he loves me more than he does you. And so if God is no respecter of persons and you're dealing with something in your life, why won't he do it for you if he did it for me? He's a very present help in time of trouble. And he'll be there for you when you need it. And scripture goes on to say, therefore I will not fear. Verse 2 says, I will not fear. And that fear that I could have possibly had was taken from me when God spoke that word to me. God's got a word for each and every one of you. Hello? God's got a word for your situation and your circumstances. God's got a word for you as a body. And God's got a word for you individually. Ask God what that word is. Ask God to speak to your heart and give you something that you can stand on, that rock that's going to keep you going in spite of chaos in your life. Amen? I'm watching. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, did he? But what did he give us? Power? Love? Sound mind? Sometimes I question the last one, but and the last part of that scripture, it says, therefore I will not fear, and in New American Standard says, though the earth should change. Anybody see any change happening? Anybody ever hear the saying, change you can depend on? There's only one thing I'm going to depend on. Understand that. We went to the men's conference this these last couple of days and set up a display there and everything. And I went into one of the classes. I went into a pastor's class. But before that, I went into a class on eschatology, the end times. And it was given by this one of the pastor. He used to pastor a church up in the western section, Dave Seriano. And he is tremendous on end time prophecy. No, it's amazing the insight God has given him through the study. He's a history studier. He studies history. He knows history. And one of the things he said was that every superpower from the beginning of time up until now has fallen. If we think about it, Israel fell when they were disobedient. You think of Babylon, you think of the Assyrians. You think of all of these empires that were superpowers that have fallen. What makes us think we're any different? So the Church of Jesus Christ has to prepare. And we thought 9/11 was bad, folks. But I want to tell you something. There's going to be people when you get that new building up. And that's why I gave you the word I gave you this morning. Because I believe it with all of my heart that there are going to be people flooding in that new church, looking for answers and looking for help in the situations in their lives. And you got the answer for them. Amen? You got the answer for them. And so I have so much more, but I'm just going to end with the fact that, you know what? The government wants control. But only God has control. He will bring down whatever he needs to bring down so he can get the glory and the honor. And I read the book. Can I tell you the end? We win. And so we got that to depend on. So dig in and get ready. Because God's plan, and none of you are on the outside, none of you are going to be chair warmers. God wants to use each and every one of you. As the time draws near, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's somebody in a supermarket, maybe it's somebody that is struggling and needs to know Jesus. Get ready. Because God wants to use you. And become a workman and study to show yourself approved. Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you for allowing us to be here today.